Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. Now, there's no set schedule. It's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review and stick it up here on the podcast feed. Now, not much news. I've been really busy. I've been doing other trips. I've been doing lots of working. But I have got through a few books since I last did this podcast. One of them I'm not going to review now, though. I'm going to save that one. Maybe not, I probably won't even review it for the SF. BRP at all, because it's really not a science fiction book. Maybe I'll talk about it on a later podcast. This review that I'm going to do today, though, I'm just going to skip over any feedback and news now. I'm going to get straight into it. It's very different from any other review that I've done so far, mainly because it's actually the second book in a series. It's called The Claw of the Conciliator by Gene Wolfe. It's the second book of the Book of the New Sun, a four-book series. And, of course, because it's in a series, I don't want to give any spoilers, if spoilers are even possible in a series like this. And also, it's a bit difficult to review a series as I was going along. I said what I'd do is probably read through to the end of this series and then review the whole book or the whole series at once, because then I can sort of see that the full thing that I'm doing, the full... what do I say? Like, yeah, I can see the full context of what I've just read rather than trying to grasp the book as I'm going through. The four-book series of the Book of the New Sun as I'm going through. But I thought I'd do this episode anyway just because it's been a while since I've done the last one and because just my life is just crazily busy at the moment. I'm doing so many different things. Reading seems to be taking a hit as well as podcasting seems to be taking a hit as well. But so I'll put this one out here. So, to start with, I asked my podcast listeners some feedback after finishing the first book of the first book in this series, which was called The Shadow of the Torturer. And I said, hey, I really need some feedback about this. I see it's worth going on. And there's a few people actually said this thing. They said, hey, Ward said, I'm going to read out quite a bit in this podcast. So stick with me in my... and my bad reading aloud skills here. So Ward said, had the same experience when reading Wolfe books years ago. Impressive writing, but it just goes on and on. I'd recommend it just for the incidents along the journey. Might work better as book on tape. And also Bob, another listener, said, I recommend you try the Audible version. I would fall asleep eyeball reading also, but listening was infinitely more enjoyable for me. So, taking these guys' advice, Ward and Bob's advice, I thought, well, I'll check it out on Audible. Turns out the narrator, Jonathan Davis, so far, in all my audiobook listenings, he is my favourite narrator. I'd pretty much listen to anything that he narrates. And also, I really enjoyed the writing style and quite a lot of the writing in the first book of The New Sun. So I thought, well, if I don't have to sit down and read it, and if you listen to back to episode 86 where I reviewed the first book in the series, I talked quite a long time about how that book made me fall asleep pretty much every single time that I sat down to read it. So this audio wise was far better, a better way for me to do it. I actually quite enjoyed it, because listening to Jonathan Davis talk, always a pleasure, listening to the florid descriptions, as I mentioned in the first the review that I did of the first podcast, is actually quite interesting as well. I'm sure there's some imagery that I missed out, because I find descriptions easier to grasp with text than with audio, because you can take it at your own pace and you sort of picture things a little bit better, and with audio sometimes things go on. So I think I probably got a little bit less out of this book in terms of setting and in terms of all the tricks that Gene Wolfe is playing with you in the setting, which I talked quite a long time about in the review of the first book in this series. So yeah, in fact, pretty much if you didn't listen to episode 86, where I talked a lot about this series there, probably best to listen to it. But I am going to now actually replay a little bit about when I was talking about the second half of this book, of the first book of this series, and I was talking about where I thought that the first book in the series was setting up all the way through to the end. Did I say that right? No. So I was talking about what I think is going to be happening in the following few books after the second half of the first book in this four-book series. Maybe that's... let's tell you what, I'm just going to play this. Maybe because we're going back in time, I should go...
It's not like nothing is happening. Things are happening, but things that are inconsequential are happening. But then they're not really inconsequential because I can see them as, you know, foreshadowing and putting into place things which will happen later on in the book. So just from the novel that I've read now, I predict that by the end of book four in the Book of the New Sun, because the sun is dying, the claw... which is one of the other novels in this series is named after the claw. And of course, that's going to be the magical device, the magical alien device, which is going to be able to, in the end, restart the sun. So at the end of book four, this is my prediction, Severian will fulfill his destiny by flying into space, restarting the sun, coming back to Earth as the savior of the world and being the king of the world or of South Africa or South America or wherever this novel, or maybe Australia, wherever this novel is set down there in the Southern Hemisphere. But the thing is, I know that on the way, there's going to be maybe 2.5 more books before we get to the second half of the last book in the series, where there's going to be this meandering plot, and I say plot in inverted commas here, because I reckon it's just going to be Severian sleeping with all the women that he meets, or them wanting to sleep with him. He's going to kill people inconsequentially along the way, bad guys, good guys, it doesn't really matter. He's going to meet strange people and team up with them, and then they're going to disappear after a while. And he's going to go on strange side quests all the way through, and all the way along the way, he's going to be noticing like old Earth technology or alien artifacts or alien technology, and he's going to describe them in ways that are like a really detailed descriptions, but obviously he's not going to get it, but we as the readers, we're going to get it as well. And but he's not going to notice what he sees as well, and the descriptions are going to be amazing. The descriptions are going to be like florid and great writing along the way, but I reckon not a lot is going to happen in the 2.5 books before what I saw being set up at the beginning of this book is going to happen.
So there I go. Was I right? Well, there's a few things that I mentioned there as well. I'm not sure if the book is going into the ultimate direction that I think is, like I say, the second half of book four will say what I think it's going to say. However, the next 2.5 books that I said would be filled with, pretty much that's what I got here in this second book. So the claw that I mentioned there was certainly more magical in this book. You can sort of see that's got a lot of power and a lot of history behind it. Did he sleep with all the women he meets along the way? Pretty much. Did they want to sleep with him? Yeah, pretty much. Did he kill random people along the way? Yep. Did he meet strange people and team up with them and then they disappear for a while? Yep, that happens. Does he go on lots of strange side quests along the way? Yep. And do we get lots more old Earth and alien artifacts along the way? Yes, we do. Actually, in this case, that a lot of them are sort of a little bit more sort of foreground. I mean, well, not foreground, but in the Shadow of the Torture, a lot of the things like the spacecraft that they lived in and all these different things that were there, and the pictures that he saw, which were, you know, there's this one of them that stood out was that he looks at this mural on a wall, and it's obviously a picture. Well, once I cottoned on to the game he was playing there, it was a picture of Buzz Aldrin on the moon or Neil Armstrong on the moon. It's a moon landing picture there. So that's what I was expecting in this book, but it's a little bit more blatant. So the references to alien technologies and things are a little bit more there, which is actually quite nice because it becomes a little bit less of a fantasy and more of a fantasy at the same time. The magic is certainly more there. However, like the technological roots of things a bit more in the foreground as well. So, let me think. Yeah, so I said that in the next few books, there's not a lot going to happen, but it's going to continue on like the second half of the first book ended. And that's pretty much how this book went along, which is a bit disappointing. They did sort of like the overall plot was little bits were revealed here and there. You know, we did meet a few more important characters and we found out what a few other these characters were doing along the way. But otherwise, not really sure. So here we go. I'm going to play another clip where I asked for feedback. So here we go.
Except, of course, and this is what I'm going to put it over to you, my listeners. It's up to you now to convince me to keep reading through this novel. Say, or this series of novels, say, don't spoil the second or third or fourth novel for me, but say what I've already set up, which is thinking here, isn't going to happen. And it's actually the plot is going to move on a bit further. It's not just going to be random encounters all the way through, and stuff's actually going to happen. He's not going to just sleep with all the women that he meets, and it's just really strange that I can sort of see where the book is going, but maybe I can't.
So there we go. So could I see where the book was going? Yep, I did think. So like I say, a few other small surprises along the way. Strangely enough, not enough characters. He meets these random people, but they all seem to be the same people that he's met before. Everybody plays two characters, or every character comes back again and again, often indescribed. And suddenly when you work that trick out that he's playing, all you need to do is remember who's not been mentioned for a while, and maybe what sex they are, or if they're tall, or if they're short, and you can pretty much, again, work out who is going to be who. A few times you get a little bit surprised, you think, oh, that character isn't that character. It was actually played by this other character, but you think, oh, that's great. So anyway, in that last clip, I did ask for feedback, so now I'm just going to go through some of the feedback that I got after doing the first review. Here's some feedback from David. I've cut this down to what he said. He goes, I had much the same reaction to you the first time I tried to read The Book of the New Sun. Gene Wolfe is a breathtakingly formidable writer, but he can also be really infuriating. He goes on to say, based on your comments, I wouldn't really recommend you keep going at the moment, but I do think that The Book of the New Sun is something you'll work your way through someday. It is worth it, I think, but you really have to want it. It's a lot more enjoyable when you know what's going... He says it's a lot more enjoyable when you know what to expect going in and have more of an idea of what's going on. I just reread Shadow of the Torturer for the fourth time and absolutely loved it. So there you go. David says it should do it. You know, work your way through slowly, and that's what I think I'm going to do here. He says it is worth it. I'm not sure if it is going to be worth it, but it's one of those things you go, next time you read it, you know, reread it for the fourth or fifth time, you get loads more out of it. And I'm thinking, really? Is that really what I want to do? George, he had something similar to say. He says, when you read about Gene Wolfe's books, one thing that comes up more often than with any other author is that his books warrant multiple rereadings. It can't be a coincidence that there is so many secondary literature about his works. There's even a chunky Lexicon Earthus about the New Sun series, decoding all the obscure references and hints. Part of the fun is finally getting these things the second time through. So, what I've got to say to that, George, is that you always think like, okay, do I really want to have to read a book a second time through just to get it all? Because if that is part of the fun of a book, that's great, and I really enjoy that. However, it would be a lot nicer if the first time I read through the book, it was a little bit more of an enjoyable experience. It actually felt like it was doing something or going somewhere or doing the, you know, actually having some enjoyable things as well. The first novel that I put out here, Minding Tomorrow, it's quite a complex book, and there are some games that I play with it as well, and many people have told me that as soon as they finish it the first time, they flick back to the first page and started rereading it again. Or if they didn't do that, they emailed me to say, I'm gonna have to reread this book again, or I really want to reread this book again to get all of the games that I'm playing, to get all of the references and all of the hints. You know, I put all of it in there as well. However, the entire book was about as long as one of these installments of the Book of the New Sun, rather than it's probably shorter than any of these installments of the Book of the New Sun, rather than a four book series to get through as well. And also, I tried to be a little bit more entertaining, at least mildly entertaining, as people went through, so they actually felt like it was worth reading to the end. This Book of the New Sun, it's such a drag, or like I say, well, actually, this novel was less of a drag, mainly because I was listening to an audiobook. But I'm just thinking, if people expect me to read this more than twice, or Gene Wolfe expects me to read this more than once, he could have made it a little bit more fun the first time through. Now, George also mentions Lexicon Earthus, which is a big chunky book about the New Sun series. It just so happens that Michael Andre Druessi, who wrote that book, is also a listener to this podcast. And he actually sent me an email a while ago saying, hey, you should check out this book. I hadn't actually read the first book in the series so far. He said, but, you know, you should read the Book of the New Sun and then read my book if you want to get to know the book a bit more. So it's actually fun that some people are talking about Lexicon Earthus here. A few other people, except George, also mentioned the secondary literature about it, about this book too. And it's funny that the writer of one of those books listens to this podcast. Anyway, he says, now that you've covered, this was after the first episode that I did about the Book of the New Sun. He says, now that you covered The Shadow of the Torturer in podcast number 86 and invited listeners to chime in on whether you are correct in your estimate of how the tetralogy will end and whether you should continue or not, he says, in my honest opinion, the short answers are no and no. Just pause that feedback there for a minute. Actually, I didn't only ask for listeners to chime in on whether I'm correct in my estimate of how the tetralogy will Tetralogy? Is that actually even a word? Quadrology. I think that's what they call the Alien series anyway. So I wasn't talking about just how it ended. I'm more sort of wondering about the books in the middle, about actually how it will continue. Maybe it's a bit too easy to say, oh, well, I know how this book is going to continue, even if I don't know how it's to end. It's like The Lord of the Rings. Oh, it's going to continue with lots of people walking a long way, and they're going to walk, and there's going to walk, and there's going to be some battles along the way, but it's going to be walking through to the end. And you're like, yeah, okay, maybe. But I think I sort of hit the nail a little bit too much on the head in my first one. But again, maybe, again, not going to be entirely correct about the final ending. However, nothing I've read in this second book has made me change my mind upon where I think the ending in book four is being foreshadowed in book one and now in book two as well. Anyway, back to Michael's email. He says, to expand a bit on the second, no, I don't think you should read something that literally and repeatedly puts you to sleep. That is, when it isn't distracting you with your own growing dislike of and frustration with the text. If you have to read such a text, presumably it pays you something, pays cash for a review, requirement for a class, bragging rights among intellectuals, etc. Since this is not a requirement for the class, then it simply isn't worth it for you. Bragging rights, Proust or James Joyce would certainly be worth more. He says, the Book of the New Sun is not for everyone. It is not for you, and you're in good company with the likes of Robert Silverberg, who says, there's no there. Sounds like a good match to what you're saying. Life is too short. Read something else. Now, I think there's a very cool email actually from the writer of a book about the Book of the New Sun there. And he actually says, don't it? Later on, he says, look, if you've got some kind of masochistic reason to do the opposite of what I say and continue reading it, go ahead and do it. So I actually did carry on. I went against Michael's email there and did carry on, and to be honest, liked this installment a little bit more. The book, actually, the audiobook ends like this, and of course the first book in the series ended like this, and now here the second book in the series ends the same way. The narrator says, the narrator being, you know, Jonathan Davis and Severin, the main character, the first person narrator character as well, he says, if you wish to walk no further with me, dear reader, I do not blame you. It is no easy road. And then in the audiobook version, the dramatic music came in. Unfortunately, the music was way more dramatic than the story itself has been up until that point. However, I did, like I say, did enjoy this second installment a little bit more than the second half of the first book. Like I said, the first half of the first book in the series I really enjoyed, and then it just seemed to go nowhere. This book also went nowhere throughout the whole of it. However, it was a lot more enjoyable, mainly due to the reading and the narration. The quality of writing sort of shines through, especially when, like I say, you got a great narrator doing it. Because often when you're reading through the denser text in these books, you'll get to a word and you'll go, oh, and you sort of stumble over the world and it sort of disrupts your flow, or there'll be a strange phrasing and you've got to get it, you know, you read over it a few times just to actually work out the phrasing. However, when someone is narrating for you, it just, they've already worked out the phrasing, they've already worked out the flow, and even if it's a word that you're not quite understand or these other things that you're not quite sure what is going on, you can, it's easier to sort of pick up and it flows it like that. So 2.5 stars I'm going to give this book, certainly a step up from the first book. Again, mainly because I think I was knowing what to expect, and I think that's a big help in a book like this, that I went into it with my eyes open and didn't find it frustrating in the same way, because the first book I found frustrating because of the first half of the first book was like going ching ching, is really going along, and then it suddenly goes and just grinds to a halt as he tries to get out of his city. Now he's just sort of grinding through the countryside, going backwards and forwards, trying to get to the same place he was trying to get to at the end of the first book, but with a little bit more knowledge and with having slept with a few more women and killed a few more people and gone on some random side quests and things like that. So I will continue. It'll probably be next year, though. I might do another audio book. Well, I'll definitely listen to it again on audio book, but I'm going to give it a break for a while. Again, email me if you've got any other feedback or if you think I really shouldn't go it. But I'm going to do it. I'm halfway through the Book of the New Sun. I'm almost halfway through one unit of fiction from Gene Wolfe, and And who knows, maybe when I actually finish it, I'll read the Lexicon of the New Earth. No, what was that book by Michael? It was called Lexicon Earthus. So maybe I'll get to that one as well. Anyway, next book that I'm going to read is probably going to be Slaughterhouse-Five. I have that on audiobook. It's a short book, so I could probably get through with it within the next few days. I've also got The Time Ships, but that's a chunky book, and you know, I actually have to read it by holding a bit of paper in my hands, which seems really strange now. I've also got the... What's the book called? It's a kid's book. Ah, man, I've forgotten it. Let me see if I can quickly find it in my ebooks folder here. I've got it as an ebook, so I'm going to check this out. It's called The Hunger Games. Wow, I just had to do a little edit here. It never happens, really. But for some reason, while I was editing in those clips that I recorded earlier, I managed to lose a bit of the end of the podcast. It's a good job I actually checked the end of the podcast while I was doing this editing, because I'm actually having to do some editing in this podcast. Anyway, yeah, so I've got this Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins there. I'm going to read that one. And I can't remember any of the books that I was going to mention too. So, end bit again of this podcast. You can get in contact with me. Email me, luke@juggler.net, with your book recommendations, any comments about this, any feedback at all, anything that you really want to know. Else you can follow me on Twitter. I'm @LukeBurge on Twitter. I put out lots of little bits and pieces there. If you want to get a little bit more into depth into my sort of creative output and all the other things that I'm doing, best thing to do is check out my website and blog, which is at lukeburge.com/blog or /fiction.html if you want to read the books that I have written. Saying that, coming up to November, NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month. Again, I'm probably going to go again and this time write the third book in the series, which began with Minding Tomorrow. And then last year I wrote Combat, and this year I'm going to write Minding Tomorrow Part 3. It hasn't got a name yet, but it's all worked out. Probably do that then, that one this time out. What else? Ah, yes, goodreads.com/LukeBurge. You can become my friend or follow me. I think I've got about 150 friends now and lots of followers following my reviews. The best thing, though, is that if you become my friends, I can see what you're doing too, and I keep up with what you people are reading. When you rate books and when you do all that kind of stuff, I can see what you're doing. I don't do a lot of commenting. I comment on my own books and my own reading, and you can also comment on the progress as I'm making my way through books and recommend me books on there as well. It's a really great site. It's social media done right, because it's a very, very narrow focus, and it's really cool to hang out there and see what's going on. So that's a good way to get in contact too. I think that's about it. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.